Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's time for Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up, sir.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. That's right. The show doesn't stop for one pony, even if that pony is the football game. Folks, it is now time to turn the page to draft season. Talking with TD is still going to give you that fire. That's right. We are going to every week bring you multiple interviews. You name him, we'll get him. This week we have a special show. I want to address all positions, so we're going to just cycle all across the field. I have UVA quarterback, University of Virginia quarterback, Bryce Perkins coming on. We have Michigan. You want edge rushers? No problem. Josh Uche, Michigan linebacker. He's really a positionless player. We got him on. The hottest name out of the Senior Bowl. So Josh Uche is coming for you. Oh, and there's a little bit of a contract situation, right, going on with the running back. I think Derrick Henry will be back, but here's a guy that will complement Derrick Henry very well. That's Joshua Kelly from UCLA, another hot name out of the Senior Bowl. We have all three for you. All kinds of content, man. This is what we do. I appreciate you guys tuning in. I just will touch on some free agency things. We're going to get into that pretty deep as the season continues to go on, so we'll definitely have that conversation for you. But I am here to tell you this. Jack Conklin, in my opinion, is going to be the first free agent to sign with the Titans. He's going to be the first one they bring back. And then after that, they are going to get Ryan Tannehill done. And then they're going to turn their attention to Derrick Henry. If you listen to Jarrett and the GM, Thursday, 5 to 7, you will hear me give contract projections for each of them. You could also just podcast it, I'm sure. We'll have that on the podcast, right, Jarrett and the GM? So for you guys that are listening to this on Friday, just look it up. You better check the internet. I got stats. That's what my coach used to tell me. But, yeah, so we got a great show for you. We're going to go pay a couple bills, and we will be right back with UCLA running back Joshua Kelly. Stay tuned.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD. Thinking of the
G's, I'll be hoping. All right, so you hear the music. We had to go to the West Coast, you know, bringing a little Tupac for our next guest because he is a West Coast fella. So we're going to bring in UCLA running back Joshua Kelly. Josh, what's good, man?
How's it going? Good. You know, life is good right now. Doing really well. You?
All right, listen, man. I believe in no bad days, right? I woke up this morning, so life is awesome. I'm with you there. I know life has to be good for you because, you know, you getting ready for to make a major transition, right, to the NFL, professional football. So big ups on that one right there.
Thank you.
No problem. I want to get right into it, though. I want to talk about the Senior Bowl and just your experience there. Before we got on, I talked to you a little bit about how I was impressed with you and some of the things you were able to do. What's the biggest thing you could pull from that week of work in front of those NFL coaches and personnel folks?
There's just a lot that was going on that week. It was fun. It was a blast. I had a great time there with a lot of good coaches, a lot of great players, scouts too. So I had fun. You know, there's a lot of things going on there. It was a busy week, but you know, you get to showcase yourself in front of the best. So it was just awesome to be a part of it.
Was there anything in particular going into that week you wanted to showcase?
Yeah, definitely. I wanted to show my versatility.
Yeah.
Definitely wanted to show that I could, you know, catch out the backfield, run routes, pass pro. That was definitely my mission going in.
With pass pro, that's something, especially looking at some of those reps that, I mean, you guys are taking on. It's one-on-one, right? The linebackers are coming in. It's mono a mono, dog eat dog.
Yes, sir.
What's the mindset? What's going through your mind as you're going through that, you know, like a couple Rams colliding the way you guys were?
You got to strap up, man. That's what it's all about. It's all about this, you know, buckle up, strapping up. Like you said, mano y mano. And you got to embrace that as a running back, especially if you want to play the National Football League. You have to embrace that part of the game. You know, I love contact, so I like it. I like pass protection a lot, man. You got to protect the quarterback.
No doubt. And, that, hey, look, man, that's one of the big things that rookie running backs, right? He'll tell you, hey, look, man, don't get my franchise guy killed. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly, so right?
It's right that you have that mindset. Speaking of that, right, I know at UCLA you wore number 27. This is a Titan-centric podcast. So let's say you come to the Titans. Guess what? 27 is not going to be a number for you to be able to wear because another running back actually had that retired. So what's behind the 27? I'm always curious why guys wear particular numbers.
Oh, yeah, definitely. For me, you know, I walked on at UCLA, and I was just given a number. And, you know, I wasn't really picky about how I got the number, so I got 27, you know. And I was just like, wow, like 7 was always my favorite number growing up. I always loved number 7. And then I actually got 27 when I was there. And then, you know, the whole season where I walked on, just grinded, just worked hard, and then pretty much the next season came, and then I got put on scholarship, and they asked me what number I wanted, and I just said, I'm going to keep 27, because, you know, when it's just my roots, you know, I wanted to keep that same mindset, that same philosophy, just grinding, and that walk-on mentality. So 27 definitely is a really special number for me, for sure, absolutely.
Pardon the bad grammar, but if it ain't broke, don't try to fix it. That's basically the way it works, right?
Exactly.
And I'm glad you mentioned the walk-on side of things, because I love that, right? And it's just in talking to guys that were walk-ons or talking to guys that were JUCO transfers, I always just kind of get like a different vibe from you guys. There's like a different grit, a different just like love for football. Not saying that the guys on scholarship don't love football, but it's always interesting talking to you guys because there's a different vibe.
Oh yeah, I think that's a very good point you made. Especially for me, you know, I think that really came from like as a walk on. Like you're spending months not playing, not involved in the locker room. It's kind of like the game has been taken away from you a little bit, and then so like you get this opportunity, and you know what that feels like. Like okay, I've had moments and I had months away from the game, and it's like I don't want to ever feel that again. So you really embrace the opportunity that you have ahead. You know? I think that mentality goes a long way. It really helped me, whether that's after practice, I got to get better, especially because I came to UCLA and we had loads of talent.
Yeah.
And I just had to know that if I had to get on the field, I had to just outwork everybody.
Yeah, because, I mean, there were some other pretty good backs. I know one of them, he was highly recruited out of Texas, right? And so you had competition there. But when you went from UC Davis – to UCLA, I know when you were at UC Davis, it was Ron Gold was your coach. Is that correct?
Yeah, yes, sir.
So what?
Man,
you had to choose because, like I said, you're a Cali guy, right? What was it that led you to go the UCLA route as opposed to Cal, opposed to USC? From what I understand, you've always been a UCLA fan. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. So yeah, it actually kind of worked out for me. I grew up a UCLA fan. Born in Inglewood, grew up in Lancaster, so I was around the LA area pretty much my entire life growing up. So UC Davis was my only scholarship offer out of high school. So I went there. I was there for about 2 seasons. And the whole coaching staff, you know, the whole coaching switch happened. And I just really took a moment where I just betted on myself, you know, wanted to play Power 5 conference. Took the opportunity, man, shot my shot. But interesting enough, you know, you enter yourself in the transfer portal, and I remember Davis told me, you know, there's only 2 schools I could transfer to in-state. It was FCS rule at the time. So the only 2 schools I had transferred to was USC or UCLA. So I was like, wow, like, you know, those are some of the hardest schools to get into. But, you know, God is good, and the UCLA route really worked out thanks to Deshaun Foster. Man, for real.
God is good all the time. That's right. I appreciate you saying that. And Deshaun Foster, right? You said you shot your shot, but let's be real. You were Steph Curry out there, man, shooting over and over again.
That's so hilarious. Man,
What did you learn from working with Deshaun Foster? I tell you, I remember watching him play there at UCLA, and I remember watching him play. Matter of fact, I used to use him in Madden with the Panthers, with Steve Smith and Moosh Muhammad, and I used to grind it out with him. So what did you learn from Deshaun Foster?
Oh, yeah, man. You know, he's great. He's excellent. I learned a lot. I learned a lot off the field, too. I think that's the big thing, you know, just he's a guy who's played in the NFL. He's been there, done that. So, like, I can not only get insight in the game of football, but off the field, you know, he's really pretty much told me how to carry myself, you know. I think the biggest thing he told me, you know, he said the water is greener. No, the grass is greener where you water it. I'm sorry.
Hmm.
So, yeah, like, that quote really stuck out to me. I was like, the grass is greener where you water, you know, no matter where you're at. You know, just that's something that resonated with me, you know. And, you know, he's taught me a lot in my career. You know, he's been an excellent resource for me. He's helped me really grow as a man, too.
Coaches have the funniest sayings, man. But, the sayings, like, they'll say it to you, and you're just like, wait a minute. And then it hits, and you're like, wow, that's an excellent point. Like, I had one of my college coaches, he told me, he said this to me. He said, son, the best part about being quiet is you get to listen. And I'm like, what? But then I thought about it, and he's right. So, they have sayings. So, speaking of coaches, moving on from Jim Moore to Chip Kelly, that's a big change. Like, these are two very different guys. At least from me outside looking in, looking at those guys when they coached in the NFL. What were some of the biggest changes or differences that you found in moving from Jim Moore's program to Chip Kelly's?
Yeah. You know, they're both outstanding coaches. You know, I'm really humbled that I had the opportunity to work with both of them. Yeah, I got here with Coach Moore, and they took care of me. You know, I was a walk-on, but, you know, the way they treated me was just like all the other scholarship guys. Had meals off tutors. I had, you know, a lot of these resources given to us. So, yeah, man, it was just great. You know, I have a lot of love for Coach Moore, especially what he's done for me as a football player too. And then, you know, Chip Kelly, you know, he's been awesome. Put me on scholarship, you know, had a chance to play in his system too. So, you know, they're both great coaches. You know, every coach has their own philosophy and their own way of going about things. But, you know, I can't say enough about how great they are.
Did Chip Kelly show you a lot of Shady McCoy?
Oh, man. We watched a lot. Yeah, we watched a lot of NFL tape. Definitely watched a ton of those guys, a lot of those guys at Oregon, too. So we watched a little bit of everything.
Nice, nice. And I see on the site, AP, Adrian Peterson, and Zeke are two guys you mentioned as your favorite player.
But the
thing that was really interesting to me in some of the research I did on you is Le'Veon Bell. And you said he runs like a boxer, which is very I like that, but I want to just break that down for my listeners. What do you mean by that?
Oh, yeah. He's definitely, I would say, you know, I think of Le'Veon Bell's running style. I think of him running like a boxer and playing chess. So he's pretty much, you know, he's not going to go for the, you know, he could go for the knockout blow, but he's just patient. He's patient. There's an art to his style of play. He's not just running and just hitting a hole. He's really just taking the game because he knows he's going to get 20 to 30 carries a game. He knows he's going to get touches. But the way he plays the position is graceful. It's an art to it. You know, he's really just – it's just crazy how he's seen it. He's putting the linebackers in positions to where his linemen can block them. He's reading double-team blocks as well. He's just setting up the pieces around him. And he's playing chess, man. And he's revolutionized the way, like, a lot of guys run now.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he's awesome for sure, man. He does it all. He runs, he blocks, he catches. But pretty much, man, he gets his touches and he knows it. So he wears down the defense with his style of running.
A truly unique style. And then you just keep – you setting up my question after question after question. I like you, man. you mentioned chess, right? So naturally I'm going to go to Seth Mikowski, because he's someone that you've worked with. He's worked for the guys and girls, the ladies and gentlemen who don't know who he is. He's a chess champion, and he has also worked with Deshaun Watson. Yes, Titans fans, we are mentioning a Houston Texan, It is what it is. But what led you to that? That's another unique aspect as far as approach to football.
It definitely is, man. So Seth Mikowski, he's awesome. He's been working with a lot of our guys, man. I don't have enough good things to say about him. He's a great person. And, yeah, I definitely got in touch with him. I really wanted to play chess. You know, I've always liked playing chess. I enjoyed the game, but I never really, really got into it. You know, and then, you know, we went over it, and it really changed the way, you know, I kind of view not only just the game of chess, but football. It's a lot similar, you know, how the pieces are, the importance of, like, each position, the value they all bring. And you got to protect the quarterback. Got to protect that king, man. So there's a whole strategy that comes with it, like how to set up your opponent. It's the same thing, like how to set up a linebacker. So there's a lot of similarity in chess and football, and it just really helped me as a player too.
Which is naturally a good transition from Le'Veon Bell, because as you mentioned, he sets things up and he knows when to, you know, go for that home run and et cetera, et cetera. So I like that.
Exactly.
I want to get into you a little bit as a player, right? And I posted a couple things. I watched the Oklahoma game. I watched USC. I watched a few games, but the Oklahoma game I thought was really interesting because it showed some breakaway from you. But then on one of them, you ran through a tackle, you know, and another one off of that. So let's get into you as a prospect. What is it that makes you a legitimate NFL running back?
Oh, yeah. You know, I definitely see myself as an NFL-type runner. I know I run downhill. I know I run hard. I have great ball security. I know I do the little things right. I know how to set up my block well. I have good vision. And I love contact, man. I love that, and I embrace it. And one thing I think that is going unnoticed is I'm very smart. I'm a smart football player, and I love the game. So I'm always studying guys, how they run, studying backs all over the place. So I'm always eager to get better, man. Like, I'm never satisfied with the results. I'm always just looking for ways to get an advantage. You know? I love it, man. I love the game. For sure.
Nothing wrong with that. You mentioned always eager to get better. You obviously have your pluses, but what would you say are some areas for improvement?
Oh, yeah. You know, there's definitely always areas of improvement. For me, you know, I think I could definitely work on just being more aggressive and pass protection, you know.
Okay.
I'm really there. Getting there. I'm getting better at that. But that's something I can always work on, man. And I just think I can work on being a better vocal leader. You know, I think I've done a lot of good things being captain these past two seasons. But get to work on that side of it, just being more vocal to you guys.
Yeah, that vocal leader part comes with time. The aggression in pass pro, you got to balance it, though, right? You can't lunge, because you lunge, you're going to miss your target.
Man. Exactly. Improving that technique aspect.
The USC game, folks, if you guys want to see a consistent runner that just carry after carry got positive yards, Joshua Kelly had 289 yards against USC in 2008. Go check it out. I'll post a link to the full game so you guys can see that. But this will give you an example of what Joshua Kelly brings to the table. Last question that I have for you is, do you still have that never give up wristband?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I've always had it, always worn it. It's a part of me. It's just a part of who I am as a person, man. Like, I have a bunch of wristbands, you know, God, Jesus. And then definitely that never give up wristband is always on me.
That's what's up, man. Joshua, I appreciate it. Congratulations also on the combine invite. I will see you in Indy. I'll make sure I make my way over to your podium or table, whichever they have you, and, you know, do my best to just make you laugh, you know, and ease the situation, because it is a tense situation for guys, but I'm sure you'll handle it well.
Thank you so much, man. You know, God is good. Thank you so much. Appreciate that invite. I can't wait to see you there.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you.
Of course, man. God bless.
Likewise. So that's Joshua Kelly, UCLA running back. Check him out, folks. I did post the link to highlights from his game against USC. 12 touchdowns in back-to-back years, over 1,000 yards. just one of those steady running backs is always going to get you positive yards. So, again, he was a guy that stood out at the Senior Bowl. What we're going to do is go to a break, but then we'll come back with another Senior Bowl standout in Michigan linebacker Josh Uche. Don't you go anywhere. We'll be right back.
This is Jayon Brown, and you're now talking with TD. Thugs,
make it hot, make it. All right, we are back, and you hear the music. Uchi Wally by Nas. It's only right that we play that song because that's the name, the last name for our next guest. And I tell you what, you talk about hot names coming out of Mobile, Alabama. You talk about guys who went down there and made a couple dollars. Josh Uche, Michigan linebacker. Josh, what's good, man?
How you doing, man? Thanks for having me.
No problem. Thank you for coming on. And I tell you, like I said, a hot name coming out of Mobile. I watched some of your games this past season, watched you down in Mobile. Let's start with the Senior Bowl. What do you feel that experience down there, like, what did that do for you as a prospect?
I mean, it really just gave me the chance to showcase my versatility. You know, I know some concerns coming out of Michigan was, you know, my reps, and, you know, they didn't really know exactly what I could or couldn't do. So, you know, it just gave me a chance to, you know, play in a pro-style type of system, like a 3-4, and just showcase that I could cover, I could play in the box, and I could pass rush, you know, just do everything pretty much.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that, right? The versatility is something that you wanted to show, because in watching your film, I mean, I saw you line up as a guy coming off the edge. I saw you line up as just a regular linebacker. Even if you look at the Alabama game, folks, I saw you drop back into deep middle of the field. Like, how does all that come into one package?
I mean, I just so my position, I played the Sam linebacker position while I was at Michigan. And, you know, it's just a very unique position because I have to know how to play man-to-man on tight end. I have to know how to pass rush. I have to know how to play traditional linebacker in the box. And then also in some schemes, I'm required to play the deep third. You know, I'm required to play the hole and stuff like that. So, you know, it's just I had to learn a lot of different positions, wear a lot of different hats. And, you know, I just had to perfect all of those different things.
And folks, just to put this in perspective, right, this is a Titan-centric show. So, basically, this is what I'm going to tell you. This guy at Michigan at times was asked to be Harold Landry, Rashawn Evans, and Kevin Byard all in one game. So I want you to understand what he was asked to do. Speaking of Michigan, your DC, Don Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Go earn it. That's what he said to you. How did that whole relationship develop and you know, what was it like playing for Don Brown?
I mean, main reason I went to Michigan was because of Coach Brown. You know, just so much respect for him. I love the way he coaches the game, his intensity, his passion. And, you know, just he's been recruiting me since I was a freshman in high school. You know, that was one of the first, you know, names I heard as a recruit. And, you know, I trusted him, went to Michigan, and, you know, you know, I was playing my role, and, you know, I wanted it. I wanted more playing time. So me and him had the relationship where, you know, I went to his office and said, look, coach, what can I do to play more? You know, what do I got to do? You know, he told me to go earn it. And then from there, I didn't look back, you know, and just put my head down and went to work, you know.
No doubt about it. Harbaugh. I remember when Jordan Lewis, he was coming out, and I asked him, I said, Jordan, what was the craziest thing about Harbaugh that you can remember? He said one time they were on a plane home from a road game, and he went up to the front of the plane to talk to him, and Harbaugh was still there in his khakis and even had his cleats on. So for you, what's the funniest or most unique thing that you can remember from Coach Jim Harbaugh?
Funniest or unique thing? Man, it's a couple of them, man. It's just like, he's such a serious guy for most of the time, but then he'll have moments where he's just, like, really funny. Like, he'll just say something crazy and just have everybody laughing. But a specific moment would be we had just lost to Wisconsin, and, you know, he's talking to the team, and he just says, you know, there's one thing that's cured more illnesses than penicillin, and that's winning. You know, and that just, like, stuck with me, man, because it's like,
you know, the morale was down and everything. He was just able to, you know, say something funny like that or just something very unique, you know. So
interesting. Now, speaking of Harbaugh, he's quoted as calling you a highly motivated and determined player. He also called you a special player. We already talked about the role, so obviously you are a special player. But what is it like? What's your motivation when it comes to football?
My motivation, I mean, it's really simple. I just like to compete. You know, I like being challenged. And I just love what football entails, you know, like just the one-on-ones, just the physicality of it and just the scheming and the mental part of it. I love everything that the game brings, you know, and I just really like competing.
Now, when you had the it was a meniscus injury that you had, right?
Yeah.
And then you mentioned Harbaugh said the only thing that has cured more than penicillin. I mean, you had a virus along with that.
Yeah.
When you were hurt. What did you miss most about football when you were out of the lineup?
I mean, yeah, freshman year, that was a tough period for me, you know, being away from home and going through all that. It was just hard being away from my friends, just being away from the team atmosphere and just kind of being isolated, you know, like, you know, you're not in the locker room, you're not, you know, talking to your guys, you know. And it just sucked because it felt like you was all alone going through all, you know, issues by yourself, you know. So I just miss being with my teammates, honestly.
As far as your games are concerned, I mentioned the Alabama one. What would you say are the three, or let's just go two, the two best games that really showcase your talent?
I'd say the Alabama game, the Indiana game, and I'd also go, I'll go Iowa.
Okay.
Just because that was, you know, it wasn't an easy one, you know.
What was it about the Alabama game that showcased you the most?
I mean, I was just able to, for one, I played a lot more that game.
Yeah.
Second, you know, I was just getting constant pressure, and I'm going against the top guys in the country. You know, Jedrick Willis is just a really good tackle, very athletic tackle. Then Leatherwood on the other side, really good guy, you know, athletic and everything. You know, I was also playing in the box. I was dropping to deep thirds. You know, I was, you know, just blitzing A through C gap, you know, just doing everything, you know. So just really good game that, you know, I was able to showcase what I could do a little bit.
Yeah, you gave both of those tackles a run for their money, and they even used the tight end to block you a couple times, well, to attempt to, because that didn't work out too well. how about I want to circle back to the Senior Bowl a little bit and just go to the one-on-ones. Because, like I said, you really stood out there. Pass rushing moves, what is your favorite move? I mean, obviously, you don't go in like a robot, like, okay, I'm doing this, this, and this. But what's your favorite when the stuff hits the fan and you got to get to the quarterback? What's your favorite pass rushing move?
I'd really say I got a stutter. I could do a lot of stuff just based off my stutter footwork because it's like, I could either hit you with the speed off the stutter, bull rush off the stutter, or counter inside off the stutter. And you don't really know which one is coming because I have all three. So, you know, if all else fails, I could go to that and I know I'll win, you know, with either one of those, you know.
And that helps with leverage, which also goes along with speed to power, you know, something else that you're able to get. It's funny, Jim Nagy, a couple of days ago, he posted on Twitter, he said he doesn't know why you're not getting enough first round pick conversation, why you're not in that conversation enough. And I replied and I said, I agree. And I said, I'm not trying to hear that he's too small because I feel like size is not a skill. And then I mentioned your speed to power, the strength that you bring. It actually reminds me of Robert Mathis, if you remember him with the Colts. He was a similarly sized.
I talked to him. He's a good friend of mine. Yeah, we talked.
Bingo. Okay, so that's a good. What have you gotten to gather from him?
Nah, we actually connected before this season started, and you know I'd send him some pastures clips of mine, and you know ask him what he thought, and you know he'd just give me some really good feedback, and you know he just gave me some advice and stuff like that. You know we communicate a little bit, you know every now and then, but Yeah, I mean, I was talking to him before this season started, and he gave me some really good advice, you know.
Good stuff, good stuff. He's definitely someone to learn from. What are you? Where are you weighing in? Are you still at like in the 250 range?
I was 245 yesterday.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. Where are you training?
I'm in Arizona at Exos.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, Exos. Okay, cool. So that means I'll see you at the Omni a couple of days before you work out at the Combine. That'll be cool.
Yeah.
What are you working to really like? What would you say is it? Because we went over a lot of things as far as strengths, but what would you say are some areas where you could improve and become an even more dangerous pass rusher or player? Period.
I'd say my off the ball, just being more comfortable doing that, getting more reps at it and stuff like that. You know, just being as good. I want to be as good as I am pass rushing, doing everything else. You know, so that's my goal.
Gotcha.
As a football player, just, you know, being as good in coverage and off the ball as I am pass rushing.
And how about the feedback that you got at the Senior Bowl after the practices, et cetera? What were some of the things that they felt you did really well?
I mean, yeah, I got some really good feedback. That's why I really haven't been tripping about, you know, the mock drafts and stuff like that.
You shouldn't trip about that.
Yeah, I know what they said to me, and I know the connection we had and, you know, everything that went on, you know, that a lot of reporters don't know about, you know. So, you know, I felt like I got some really good feedback, man, from a lot of the coaches. A lot of the guys just were extremely impressed with, you know, what I was able to showcase.
Who, last question, who were some of the guys, we mentioned Robert Mathis, who are some of the other guys where you have watched in the past and say, you know what, I kind of see some of the things that I would like to do in that player?
Yeah, I'm it's Von Miller, Frank Clark, D Ford, Yannick Ngakoue. Who else? I like Shaq Barrett a lot. And then Hightower from the Patriots. I like his versatility. So I just kind of like watch all those guys and take different parts of their game and try to add it into mine.
That's a nice mix. That's a nice mix. And Ngakoue, he's Nigerian also, right?
Nah, I think he's from Ghana. Right?
Ghana, okay. Pardon me. Okay. Well, hey, I appreciate you coming on, man. Why don't you go ahead and let them know your Twitter so they could check you out, your social media?
All right. Twitter is _Uche35, and then my Instagram is Josh_Uche, Uche.
And it's pronounced, it's spelled Uche, fellas, ladies.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, Josh, man, I appreciate you, and I definitely look forward to catching up with you in Indy, man. Keep grinding and doing your thing, and I like your focus, man. I like your game, so look forward to catching up with you.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me.
All right, for sure. That's Josh Uche, Michigan LB. We will be right back with Bryce Perkins, UVA quarterback.
This is AJ Brown, and you're talking with TD.
Yeah, that's right. We are back from the break, and you hear the music. Public Enemy, Fight the Power. It's something that I'm going to play for different quarterbacks that I have on. Just a personal thing that I want to play for them, because there are certain guys that just tend to get told that they can't play the position. They're told that, you know, they have to play receiver or running back, even though they are really good passers. They are all around dynamic players. And then that's what we have in this next guest. I tell you what, folks. This guy right here slept upon heavily. Virginia quarterback Bryce Perkins. Bryce, what's going on, man?
What's up? Thank you for having me on.
For sure. I appreciate it a lot, man. So let's get right into it, man. The quarterback position. You are an athletic player. You are one of the guys that, you know, certain coaches will say cannot play the position, but you played it very, very well. So what was it about you that made you stick to the quarterback position?
Oh, man, I think it's just you know, my desire, man, from a young age, man, I just have been obsessed with greatness. And the more someone told me I couldn't do something, the more I wanted to. And, you know, as the years went on, I kept picking up, you know, different things that helped me in position. And I got excited when I picked those things up that helped me at quarterback. So I just fell in love with the position and fell in love with the role. And, you know, every year I just strive, you know, to become a more complete player than I was the previous year. And, you know, after just training years and years and years, you know, that fire grew inside me to prove everybody wrong. I mean, not only as a quarterback, but as a black quarterback, you have to be that much better than everybody else, because you're going to get labeled like, you know, athlete, receiver, and everything like that. So, you know, I just try to make sure my game is, you know, more complete than it was previously, so that, you know, I can be undeniably great and undeniably great in the eyes of others.
Bryce, you know what's so crazy to me? The quarterback position, the black quarterback position, it's like the one position in sports where you could get knocked for being too athletic. Like, that whole thing is just crazy to me.
Yeah, and, man, I mean, it's crazy, you know, kind of dealing with it. I mean, I think this, you know, this timing is for me at least, is great because of, you know, the black quarterback success that has been happening. And I think guys in the league are proving that they can play at the high level and win. You know, and you know, it's more when people see the mental side of it, like when Deshaun Watson is out on an interview, you know, and he's talking about coverages, and, you know, people see that, you know, okay, he's more than just an athlete. He's smart, and he knows the position as well. I mean, that helps out dudes that who kind of just get, you know, labeled and stereotyped. And, you know, it's funny. I mean, it's always going to happen, and it's something that's probably never going to change, but, you know, when guys have success, and that's so important for, you know, when guys get to the league, when black quarterbacks get to the league, you know, they got to work harder and harder just to, you know, eliminate all those biases and negative connotations that come with it. So, you know, they're working, and I'm working, and I'm striving to be the best, you know, be the best player I can be, you know, and prove everybody wrong.
Excellent point. And it's funny because a lot of times what ends up happening is that filters down to fans. And they go into something just completely disregarding what you're doing on the field. Case in point, right? The Florida game. 70% completion percentage, right? And I'm watching that game, and I'm like, wow, the placement on this one is outstanding. So I said, you know what? I got to share this. So I put it on Twitter. I posted a couple videos, and this guy says to me, yeah, his placement could have been better. And I'm like, he couldn't have taken the football and handed it to him, and it wouldn't have been better placement. So I don't know what you're talking about. So I asked, well, which throws? And they couldn't tell me which throws, because there weren't any consistent throws. Now, granted, there were two I recall watching, but two out of 40 I think is pretty good. But, you know, I'm gonna get off of that box. I want to go back to just kind of peel it back and go back to the ASU days. The injury, what was it that, you know, kind of pushed you through that injury? Because it was pretty severe, if I'm not mistaken.
Man, yeah, man, it was almost, you know, career ending. You know, that's what the doctors were saying. But man, I got so much support from my family, my brother, and my parents, and people around me that, you know, I was able to keep positive and stay positive. Man, you know, and I truly believe that, you know, I'm destined, you know, for great things. So little things like that, you know, is a setback. But, you know, I know that God has something special planned for me. So I was able to just keep focused and keep, you know, keep positive with the people around me and, you know, slowly get back to the fight. And I think that everything happens for a reason. I truly believe that. And for me to go through that, it made me a better player. So, I mean, that was something I definitely had to go through in order to become a more complete version of myself. And, you know, that's exactly what happened, stepping away from the game from a physical standpoint and, you know, kind of looking at it and learning more about it and from a mental standpoint, you know, becoming a smarter player. And, you know, that was definitely because of, you know, my injury and everything like that.
And you have NFL bloodlines, right? Your brother, Paul, he went to UCLA, played for the Giants. Was it your dad, Bruce? He was a football player, and Don Perkins. Was that your uncle? Is that right?
Yeah, my great uncle. Yeah, played with the Cowboys.
How have you been able to kind of lean on your brother going through this process? I remember him, a running back, coming out of UCLA. So he's obviously been through this, the whole examination and evaluation, et cetera. How have you been able to lean on him for some guidance?
Oh, man, just asking it and just witnessing through. You know, I'm lucky because, you know, every step, you know, high school and college and the NFL, I got to, you know, be with him, you know, to witness it myself and kind of, you know, walk with him through his journey. That gave me a better insight and better understanding of what to expect when I get to that level. So just going through him and you know, talking to him and him, you know, taking me on things. And when he was in the league, he took me, he had some stuff to do when he was with the Giants that he took me with, and I got to witness that. And, you know, when he trains, I go with him sometimes and train with him. And kind of just puts me in that mindset of, you know, okay, all right, I know what to do and I know what's expected of me when I get to this level. And I know, you know, how much harder I have to work than everybody else. And he's a workhorse, my brother personally. I mean, he works harder than everybody else. And for me to just witness that and kind of be with him, you know, it helps me a lot. And as far as, you know, my parents and my uncle, just, you know, seeing, you know, from, you know, different generations and, you know, different advices. And, you know, it's all the same. I mean, they played at different times, but, you know, the advice and the knowledge is the same as far as, you know, what you have to do, what's expected of you, and just how to operate as a complete professional. And, you know, just to be the fourth, person in the family that is going through this process, you know, it's taken a lot of kind of the burden off my shoulders because, you know, not only me, but my family knows how to handle certain situations and handle certain people that I may come in contact with, especially, you know, you go in contact with a lot of people when there's money involved. So, you know, it's been fun just to look, learn from them and have them kind of just teach me and give me game a little bit that has allowed this process to be easier.
You mentioned your older brother. You mentioned your uncle, your pops, you know, taking the burden off of you. I smiled when you said that because it brought me back to watching the Florida game. And there were times like you would make a throw and the camera was scanned to them. And what their emotions were all over their face. It was so funny, man. But that Florida game was a really good one. You know, I thought that showcased you really well. You're one of two players to have over 3,000 yards passing and 700 yards rushing. You along with, I believe it's Jalen Hurts. So let's talk about you as a prospect, as a quarterback. What are some of the things you feel that you do really well?
I think this year especially, I'm a way more specific in kind of just my training, and I'm a smarter player when I touch that field, and I put an emphasis to really, 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 you know, watch the other opponent and kind of get a sense of things, which, you know, made my vision on the field, you know, better. I was able to see things better, and, you know, my athletic ability is just a plus to that. I think I've, you know, grew as a passer and continue to grow. And, you know, one thing, you know, most like I'm proud of is that I always fight for my team. And, you know, until at the very last minute, you know, I'm going to leave everything out there, you know, until the fourth quarter stops. And that's just kind of something that's been building me. And it's just that dogginess in me. Mm-hmm. It has been built up since I was young, and, you know, my family, you know, my mother, my father have been, you know, right there with me trying to, you know, motivate and kind of instill that toughness in me. And that has definitely translated into the field.
Bryce, go ahead.
No, yeah, I was going to say it was, which is, it definitely helped me because I take the field with a mindset that I can't be stopped and that, you know, we're going to will our way to win no matter what the circumstances is.
I tell you, Bryce, if there's one thing I can't stand, it's a scary quarterback, right? And you watch some guys and they're in the pocket and another color flashes within their sight lines and they cringe. But that's not what you do. So what is it that allows you to stay so calm in the pocket? There's times where, I've seen you stare down the pass rush and throw a dime down the field. There's other times I saw you jump over a guy, run to your right, and throw across your body a dime in the back of the end zone, talking about the Florida game again. Well, what is it that allows you to keep so cool when everything around you is just going haywire?
Yeah, I mean, it's a couple of things. One, it comes with, after a while, you gain experience and you gain more confidence in yourself and understanding about, pocket presence. So just playing games, after a while, you get more used and you get used to it. And it allows you to operate better and, operate, in a faster sense of, okay, I know what's coming. This pressure's coming or the pocket's collapsing kind of. So I know I need to either escape or I need to buy time because it's going to be open and stuff like that. And then the second is just, trust and alignment. Our lineman this year grew, tremendously and then finished the season. And I think, one of the best five that were out there on the field at all times. And just seeing how they work, allows me to trust them just the communication they have and the faith they have in me, I put it right back in them. So, I'm able to stand in the pocket, and if something happens, I know that it's not going to be a continuous thing if someone, lets somebody through or if someone gets through on an accident. So, allows me to be more comfortable while I'm not looking left and right my whole time, when I'm back there. So definitely experience and just trust in general just allows me to play better. And I think any quarterback, that goes with any quarterback as well.
Well, and see, the thing is with you, you have a good balance, right? You know at times to scramble to pass, right? But then if you look at like that, take the Virginia Tech game, for example. Hey, man, you put your get somewhere shoes on and you ran for a long touchdown. So what goes into the balance? Like knowing when your journey is over, right? Knowing when the journey is over and it's time, let me tuck it and let me go. Or knowing when the journey is over and it's like, you know what? That's not a risk I need to take. Let me go ahead and eat this sack and live to see another play.
Man, yeah. I mean, it's a fine line. And sometimes, sometimes you're athletic. I mean, you do get caught sometimes and just kind of just trying to do too much and kind of, end up making a play worse. So, I think a lot of that goes for a lot of mobile quarterbacks. And, it's just seeing, game situation down a distance and just, knowing what you need to get and knowing what you can't afford in that situation that allows you to say, okay, so I need to complete this ball or I need to find somewhere where I can, either gain it the first down on my feet or extend the play where I can find an open receiver. Or if it's, third down and you can't take a second, put you out of field goal range. So, little things like that just allows you to, pre-snap, understand, okay, what can I do? And then what's the most logical option? And then, the other half of it is just kind of just natural feel where, you get flushed out and then your body just takes you before without you even thinking. Next thing you know, you run to the right and you see a guy pop open and, you try to make that throw and or you try to make that first down with your feet. I think a lot of it is just natural. I mean, and definitely with a lot of mobile quarterbacks, they have that natural ability to feel when they need to escape. And then I think the most challenging part for mobile quarterbacks is not the knowing when to escape and knowing when to stay in. But, yeah. I mean, that natural ability to escape is already built in. And working on that, staying in the pocket, and kind of getting more pocket presence is something that, you know, mobile quarterbacks have to, you know, find a balance of.
That's an excellent point and very well stated. I tell you, nothing is more deflating for a defense than third and long, and they have it perfectly covered. But when you have a guy like you, it's true 11 on 11 football, and if you escape and you run for that first down, you step out of bounds, they don't even get to hit you. It's deflating. Last thing before I let you go, and I have to cut it because I could talk to you all night about this, man. I really like what you're saying. But before we let you go, any particular players coming up that, you know, you've watched quarterback-wise? You mentioned Deshaun Watson, but any other guys?
In the league right now?
In the league right now. Or, hey, they could be gone. Like, it could be Warren Moon. You could say him.
Yeah. I mean, this year, man, I love, you know, obviously, Patrick Mahomes has been, you know, exciting everybody. He's kind of like the Steph Curry of the NFL right now. When Steph Curry was, you know, really, really popping, like 2015, 2016. You know, he's exciting, and the way he escapes, and you know, that team, how they just adjust the scramble drill, is fun, and his arm is incredible, obviously. And then obviously Lamar Jackson has definitely just blown the gate wide open for people. You know, young black quarterbacks. To have a shot and his success is definitely something that's great, and he's a great player, and he's definitely, you know, someone that I look up to, you know, even though sure I think I'm older than him actually, or we're maybe the same age, but you know, just seeing what he's doing and how he's doing it, and into him his true self, not trying to conform for anybody or put on an image that he's not. And his personality and the culture that he brings, you know, it is with the position. And I think a lot of people sometimes adjust to fit a certain image that is expected of them.
Preach.
And I think Lamar Jackson is great on the field and off the field as his training, staying true to himself. So, you know, watching those guys, you know, all three of the guys that I mentioned, watching Mahomes and Lamar, this year especially has been something fun and something that I look forward to meeting them, you know, when I get to the league and, you know, face them off again.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bryce Perkins, that was a special treat for you. Bryce, I appreciate you, man. We definitely have to keep in touch, man. I really like your mindset, obviously the physical ability as well. So let's keep in touch as you go through this process. I wish you the best.
Man, thank you, man. It's been fun. Thank you for having me on.
For sure.
Hey, man, this is Kevin Byard, and I'm talking with TD.
Yo, it's like
1, 2, 3. All right, final segment. We are going to put a bow around this. I appreciate Bryce Perkins, University of Virginia quarterback. Josh Uche, Michigan linebacker, and UCLA running back Joshua Kelly. Hey, look, man, we're just going to continue to bring it. We are off to a very nice start, I must say, and we're going to keep it rolling. Just stay tuned. We're going to have a guy. Actually, this is a guy, our next guest next week. He's a guy that I'm seeing pop up on mock drafts, going to the Titans at pick number 29. I'll tease you. He's an SEC cornerback. I'll tease you on that. His name is hard to pronounce, too. We're going to have him. I also have a guy who could come in and give some depth and especially be someone that could help the team if Jack Conklin should move on. We're going to bring in another guy from the Senior Bowl, so definitely stay tuned on that. And I tell you, man, we're just going to keep it rolling. I have a bunch of guys from all over the country. We are going to be the nonstop option for you to talk to these players. That's my goal. That's what I want to do. I want to open up, go underneath the face mask, and allow you to get to know some of these guys. So I appreciate each of you for tuning in. As always, ESPN.com. Go ahead and click Teams, click Titans. I need you to subscribe to that Titans page on ESPN.com. All of my content goes up there. And also, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Hit that subscribe button. Talking with TD. Also, the 5 stars will definitely help. I thank each of you again. You have just rocked with Talking with TD. Thanks for tuning in. God bless.
Good night.